Technorama episode 464, parody show for wonderful Patreon members. This is your bonus. Play the music.
Bonus.
This is just a short version.
Hey, hold your beer and watch this.
No, they're not watching anything. They're listening. Hold your beer while you listen to this. Okay, maybe we'll go with the 10-second one. That 15 seconds sounded really long.
I know. It did, didn't it?
We're still working out the details. I feel like we're starting a new podcast and we really don't know where it's going. How do we do this? Where do we do that? We didn't really think this through all the way, did we?
No. It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress is right. All right. Yeah. My thought this week as I was watching among flat earth things that just made me go, come on, really? The whole flat earth thing just has me shaking my head, but we're going to leave that one alone.
Oh my gosh.
The other news story that seems to be cropping up a lot other than drones, which comes up a lot, is
droning on about that.
Oh, wait, you get this. Since Keith isn't here, I'll run the sound effects. Why do we need self-driving cars, Craig? Give me some rationale as to why you think this is something we should keep pursuing.
I think ultimately, and not today, but I think ultimately it will produce a safer road.
If everybody has them.
Yeah. Well, they're only going to get smarter, you know, because now we got cars that have...
You're going to need the infrastructure too. Aren't you going to need smart roads?
No.
Why not?
Look at the Google car. It didn't have anything special on the road.
It crashes a lot too.
I don't think it crashes a lot.
I'm not jumping into that thing. You're going to have to get like at least four nines of reliability on this thing.
The thing has driven millions of miles or a million miles and only had a couple accidents. And from what they said, now I haven't looked at it myself, but judging by what they said, that the accidents weren't necessarily the car's fault.
Tesla was doing the same kind of thing. They were saying, well, they were calling it what? Not hands-free, but people were taking their hands off the wheel, getting in the back seat. They say, no, you're doing it wrong.
The heck would you do that for?
To make a YouTube video?
Or get with your girlfriend really quick. Well,
thank goodness the patrons only hear that.
Nah, so.
Am I being a Luddite? Is it inevitable?
I think it's inevitable.
Is it like the Minority Report where you're just going to jump into a little pod and it will drive you to work? And drive you home.
Well, here, let me state my case. So we have cars now that will detect when other cars are too close to you on the highway.
Right.
I think that's the first step. I'm not saying that's automated or anything, but I think that those kind of things are going to make it safer. And
I agree.
Even with cars that park themselves, I'm not saying that's going to help with safety, but you know, that's starting to become a feature I've seen in commercials. Hey,
when I was a kid, you had to go to driver's ed and learn how to parallel park. Now the dang car parks for you. What's the fun in that?
I know.
You had to make your own vacuum tubes.
So I think, and again, not today, but over time, that the cars will be talking with one another, even if it's one that you drive or one that's automated. So there'll be some communication on, you know, what's in the vicinity and, you know,
kind of like Skynet now,
you know what I'm saying? It'll make a safer road. And eventually I see cars as a service rather than an ownership property.
So what's the benefit to me, the consumer, the driver of having a hands-free car? Is it so I could continue traveling while resting? Is it, I can use my cell phone without worrying about running off the road? What's the benefit?
A little bit of all that. The benefit the weird thing is, I think, you get a car and it would make us inherently lazy on driving and you would have to rely on the car to get to the right place. What if you fell asleep and you wake up and you're in San Francisco? It's like, what?
Well, if that was your destination, all the more power. That's pretty cool.
I mean, what if it's not? You know, you go to the wrong area. Maybe.
We already discussed in the show how they can't even figure out where your phone is. You're going to wind up at that guy's house.
Yeah.
I fell asleep and I wound up at Saba and Christina's house because that's where my lost phone apparently is.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard to say, but
I see a lot of news stories about this and people are getting excited and I just can't figure out why.
Well, let's take a minute, Chuck. Let's step back in the Wayback Machine, the Technorama Wayback Machine.
Okay.
I remember you going, why would anybody want their cell phone and their camera unified?
I recall saying that. I said, I already have a very good camera that takes good pictures. Mm-hmm. And eventually the technology in my phone caught up to my DSLR. Okay. Well, so, pretty close. I mean, I've still got a lot of capabilities on the Nikon that I don't have on the iPhone. But
right. Okay. Just don't compare it to your DSLR, but like a camera, camera.
I'm looking for more of an example where automation is replacing human interaction. Well, the fuzzy logic that our brains do so well.
Well, follow me for a second. So, okay. You said that you didn't see the logic in that, but ultimately it was convenience. You're able to pull the phone out, take a picture, rather than, I left my camera at home. It's all together. And it's taking good pictures. So it was convenience. And I think that might be the leading reason we'd want a smarter car.
I beg to differ. My rationale is the big camera is big. And when I have limited packing space, I go, you know what? The phone's good enough. And I started leaving the big camera behind more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily a convenience factor from that standpoint. It was a bulk factor. And that doesn't relate to me anyway from a vehicle automation standpoint. But I'm looking for an example of when did electronics, mechanization, robotics, whatever you want to call it, take over for humans and everybody said, I don't know if that's such a good idea. Was it manufacturing, like cars? Can robots make cars better? Am I following that thread again? Is that sound like the right relation? People go, oh, no, you can't have robots building cars. It'll put a whole bunch of people out of work, which is one argument against. But ultimately, we found that they made them exactly the same time after time. It reduced human error, which is what automated cars should eventually do. But in a manufacturing facility, it's a quality of product issue. When you're driving down the road, it's a life or death situation if your software has a bug. I mean, we could make that joke about blue screen of death all we want. If your software goes a little buggy in your car. Where's it go? Beep, 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 beep. Get out of the back seat. Jump in. Grab a hold of the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Medical equipment? Is medical equipment an analogy to this? There's a lot of computer-run medical equipment, and it has to stand up to very stringent software and hardware requirements from the FDA. Mm-hmm. Even the way you do your software versioning, when you're dealing with FDA-compliant materials, I used to work with a bunch of engineers, so I kind of sort of know what I'm talking about. Is that getting into that same realm of automotive? Do we need some regulatory body to say, this car is safe, this car is not, before people will start to trust it and buy it?
We already do that.
Where?
They test car vehicles all the time.
They test them and they give them safety ratings, but there's nothing that says you have to have these safety features in your car. It's still the consumer's choice whether they go with the Saab or the...
Yeah, I think there'll be some kind of standard on automated cars. Like, it has to be.
I would think there has to be some, I don't want to get into the whole, this gets us into the discussion of should the government be interfering with our consumer choices again? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to your life, oh God, I can smell we're going down the motorcycle helmet thing again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah. People are inherently not, I won't generalize. Some people aren't too bright when it comes to turning over the controls to the robots.
Well, So setting that aside for a minute, what if this opens up a whole different market. And it's not necessarily a market for purchase, but and people still want to own their own automated cars. But when I say purchase, what if, you know, like I said, cars as a service, and like you would just, there would just be these automated cars running around town and you decide you need one, one pulls up, you get in, go to work, and then you don't really own a car anymore.
Welcome to Johnny Cab.
Okay. Yes. Yes. It's Johnny Cab. Yeah. It's like a cab taxi service.
But the Uber's out of business.
Put everybody out of business. You think the taxi drivers are upset with Uber now?
Again, it has to be, there has to be a confidence factor. I know what I was looking for. Maybe this is the one. What about when the internet first came out and people didn't trust putting their credit card numbers online?
Oh gosh. If I had a dime for every time I had that conversation with somebody.
It was risky. I mean, it still is. Because, it still is. And we still freely give our credit card to companies that I just, did one tonight when I was signing up for concert tickets for next month. Mm-hmm. I'm happily putting my credit card on. I don't know where the flabberty gibbet that thing goes. So I've learned to accept the risk. But I know my life isn't at stake. My credit report may be.
Well, let's be fair. Things have come a long way. You can verify a little bit more where it's going by looking at the website than you could back in 96.
Little lock.
not back then. Not always.
You had to train people to look for the lock and HTTPS,
or maybe even I think a lot of websites didn't even have
VeriSign certificates.
Encryption.
Yeah.
SSL. So, nowadays you can say you can look at it and go, okay. The web browsers I think do a good job at explaining.
Yeah, they'll warn you.
Yeah, like I'm on Google Drive right now. You click on it, and you can easily kind of read it. It's not too. I mean, you can get into the weeds.
You're not reading the 1024 bit encryption
looks
key.
Valid to me. Yeah, it looks valid to me. No, but you can kind of get an idea of what.
But again, it's not life threatening if someone steals my credit card number. It's a pain in my financial butt. But turning my car over to, I mean, that's like turning your life support system over. It's like, okay, I'm just gonna let. The software. Well, I think there's going to be a long time before the mass majority. And when I say long time, if they come out with cars, say next year, and say, hey, Ford's got an automated vehicle, and Tesla's got an automated vehicle, and Chevrolet's got an automated vehicle, everybody's got one. It's great. There's going to be a period of holy crap. We're seeing a lot of crashes. People are going to. It's going to maybe not a lot. A lot is the wrong word. But it will be publicized because it's new.
Yeah.
It's sensationalizing a few specific cases. And we'll see stronger safety standards, maybe a regulatory body. And then it will take 5 to 10 years really before the confidence is there. And I don't know if the industry can stand that sort of a lag. If nobody's buying these things, why are the manufacturers going to keep building them? There's a financial gain in it for them.
Oh, I'm sure there is. And, you know, I'm cautious. Let's put it this way. I'm excited for the technology. I'm also on the flip side, not sure. I think I'm with you that I don't want to necessarily just jump in one right now, unless it was a very closed course and I could try it out.
I won't be an early adopter, and I better be wearing a helmet and a whole lot of safety equipment in case something goes south.
Yeah, I don't know. I think over long term, you know, there's people. Well, that Google had, and some of this is designed to kind of play on your heartstrings a little bit. But they had a video of a blind guy getting in a car, and the Google thing was taken in the store.
How did he know when he was there?
I'm sorry,
I'm just bad joke.
Yeah. But I mean, that was kind of a neat thing. He went to the store, got some prescription spilled or something, and it drove him back home. I mean, that was kind of neat. And so I think in a lot of ways that could be a huge enabler for some people that not necessarily can drive a car by themselves, but need the mobility.
Now you're talking. Okay. Enabler. Yes, I can see that. That's a value sell. Again, that's not the mass where they're going to make their money though.
No, but it'd be cool if you go, okay, I need to go cross country and just get on the main highway and turn it over to the car and let it just go.
You know. I'd be really frightened going through some of the larger cities, especially if there are still human-driven vehicles out there. If we're talking 100% robotic vehicles or a separate highway system for the robotic vehicles, that's one thing. But when you start mixing the autonomous and or the semi-autonomous with the purely human, it's pretty scary out there right now. I just talked to a guy who was in 3 accidents in the last month at church today. That didn't sound like any fun. Yeah, and none of them were his fault.
Sure, right.
No, he got rear-ended by one lady who wasn't paying attention. He was making a left turn at an intersection not far from church, and someone ran their red arrow light thinking they could still make it. And I was like, come on, people.
And they were all in Google cars, and they were attacking him.
No, the Google cars.
No, but I think, well, today, no, the AI is not good enough to work a, you know, an autonomous car. But I can see in the future, there's going to be a point when they would be smart. It would be smart enough to make a lot of decisions that, you know, for driving.
It's fascinating. I will admit it's fascinating to watch. I just have a hard time putting my kids or grandkids in one of those vehicles and saying, see you in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, just the fact, you see, I would be fine if it did have a steering wheel that I could grab and do my thing rather than just the little pods that they have where there's nothing. And it's like, oh my God, there's nothing. There's no brake.
Yeah.
There's
a manual override, at least a brake would be nice.
Yeah. See, I would like to be able to just grab the wheel and, you know, how you tap the brake or something when you're.
Or the police pull up alongside you and say, pull over, that they have some way of making you pull over. Sorry, officer, I've got no brakes, no steering wheel.
I'm hands free.
But if you like, I'll get out.
But look how far Google has come with their car in the last, 4 years? They've been doing it. They went from a Mercedes or whatever, full size car. And now they shrunk it all down, and the sensor array at the top looks nice. You know, another 5 years, I think it's going to be a different story.
Okay.
Now what market necessitates that? I don't know. Surely they can't just be marketing to the handicap. You know, but
right.
But I can see that's a big market right there.
Okay. No. Well, I appreciate the discussion. It certainly has been thought-provoking, and I'll see if I can find another one.
Hey, by the way, I do have a bit of news that's sad.
Oh?
Well, sort of sad. There's no Doctor Who this year.
I know. I saw that, too. Not till 2017.
And they removed it all from Netflix.
And same thing with House of Cards. It's not till 2017.
It's like Doctor Who literally got in the TARDIS and disappeared from time.
Well, he travels in a little different schedule than we do. Mm-hmm. So we just don't know where he's going to show up next.
Well, they are doing BBC is making their own streaming service.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So not only will you be getting things like Doctor Who and Sherlock, but you'll be doing Red Dwarf, Misfits, Primeval, Life on Mars, you know, all this stuff.
Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that you'll be. Yeah, Stretch Armstrong. But there's a lot of shows that'll be, you know, on there. And I'd be interested if it's priced right. I'm not going to spend another $10 a month for crying out loud.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, anyway, just throwing that out there. I'm kind of sad about that.
Well, thank you, Patreon person, again. Once again, this is your bonus show for contributing. We hope you enjoy it. If you've got something thought-provoking, anything. Science, sci-fi, throw it at us, see what we think. We'd love to hear from you. You know the numbers because you're one of the cool people who have donated and probably stuck around for a while. But if you're a new listener, go over to chuckchat.com, click on Technorama. You'll find everything you need there to get in touch with us. So until next time, what do you say, Craig?
Let's see.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah. 1, no, 3, 2, 1, 0, 1.